Eli, so we're obviously we're in 1 Samuel 1 in those first three or four chapters. Eli is the son of Ithamar. You'll see that in, I think, in the first verse. Ithamar is the fourth son of Aaron. So Aaron is Eli's grandfather. Interestingly, Nadab and Abihu were Ithamar's older brothers. And I'm quoting from Numbers 3 and verse 4 now, talking about Nadab and Abihu. They died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. So Eli will, as we'll see, Eli will have a couple of sons that are not good, and he had a couple of uncles that were not good. This is a Hebrew word, Eli, is, if I'm pronouncing it right, from Strong's, is Eli. It's Strong's 5927. And Israel, again, obviously a high priest, and this word occurs 33 times in the King James Version. He exercised his office of the high priest in Shiloh at the time of the birth of Samuel, and we'll see. And for the first time in Israel's history, Eli combined in one person the function of both the high priest and the judge, judging Israel in 1 Samuel 4 and 18 for 40 years. Eli first shows up in Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in his encounter with Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And for the sake of time, we'll do a little, I'm in the first chapter right now. I'll do a little bit of summarizing, but I'll keep that to a minimum because I don't do a good job of summarizing Scripture. Scripture's Scripture. It's tough to summarize for me, anyway. In verse 1 through 3 in that first chapter, Elkanah had two wives, Penea and Hannah, and one of them was barren, Hannah. Verse 3, this man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And we're into verses 4 through 7, and Elkanah made offerings for his family, his wife, and his children, gave double portion for Hannah, for he loved her. Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, provoked Hannah severely, causing him to weep and not to eat. Now on to verse 9. Eli was priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Verse 10. And she had bitterness of the soul and praised to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, continue on in verse 4, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she was drunk. So Eli said unto her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, Do not consider your maidservant wicked, or a wicked woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. Down to verse 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. So in this section of Scripture, Eli is pretty much a secondary figure I think, we can talk about this later, I think he plays a secondary role throughout those four chapters, but we can discuss that later. There are more commanding figures around him as we go through those chapters. Eli is a secondary figure and serves as a conduit or a mediator through which Hannah prays to Yahweh, and her prayers are answered with the birth of a son, Samuel. And this is a strong and positive endorsement of Hannah's petition from the high priests. Eli was obviously convinced that Hannah was sincere and that she was not drunk. Continuing in 1 Samuel 1 at verse 21, "And the man Elkanah and all of his house went up offering unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child's weaned, and when I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and three bullocks, one ephah of flour, one bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young." Now on to verse 25. "And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as the soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked for. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there." I deal with the idea of lending later. We'll talk a little bit later about this word, I lent him to the Lord. So when Eli appears next in 1 Samuel chapter 2, it is as the father of Hophni and Phinehas, who's worthless and licentious. I guess that's a good way to describe them, worthless and licentious behavior, profaned the priestly office, and earned them the title men of Belial, or worthless. This verse reads, this is 1 Samuel 2 and 12. "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." And in a little bit, on the next page, we'll talk a little bit about this pronunciation of that Hebrew word. A Belial is not a proper name or a personification of evil, as it is sometimes sold in Christendom. This word is Strong's number 1100. I've got the Hebrew word written out here, which I showed to a friend, and a Hebrew friend, and I'll talk about that in a minute. The transliteration in Strong's pronounces it this way, which my Hebrew friend disagreed with. It is Belial, worthless. These are the definitions. Number one, worthless, worthlessness, good for nothing, unprofitable, a base fellow, wicked, ruin, destruction. Not good. This fellow I work with, raised in Israel, I showed him the Israel word. I mean, not the Israel, the Hebrew word, all the squigglies. He said, "Nah, you don't pronounce it Belial. It's Bleal." So I don't know. B-L-E-E-A, root of two words. Ble, meaning lack, and al, meaning value, lack of value. Anyway, take it, either way you look at it, this is not a good word. I think the important thing is it's also not a proper name. 1 Samuel 2 opens with Hannah's beautiful prayer, which we read at the opening of today's meeting. This is one of the more beautiful parts of Scripture. We're not going to read it here. Down to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. "And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli, the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." I'm going to say it the way we usually say it, Belial. "And they knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, The priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, and with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan of, or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all the flesh that brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the men, the man that sacrificed, give flesh roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Here Hophni and Phinehas are indeed profaning their priestly office. They're using their position to extort food from the sacrifices of the people. In the proper way, the scriptural way, for the priest to receive his offerings are outlined in Leviticus chapter 7. I'll read from Leviticus 7 at verse 28. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers a sacrifice of his peace offering, in this case, a peace offering to the Lord, shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offerings made by the fire of the Lord. The fat with the breast shall he bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering to the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, and the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Also the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering for the sacrifice of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron and who offers the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering was the high priest of the heave offering. I have taken from the children of Israel for the sacrifices of their offerings, and I have given them to Aaron and the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by statute forever. So it was the breast and the right thigh for the priests. As we have seen, Hophni and Phinehas are only two generations away from Moses, yet they have profaned their priesthood, or this priesthood. They have done so to the point where the people, their flock, abhor the offerings to Yahweh in plain language. They have failed. And from a position of introspection, are we fulfilling our statutes and our commandments and the judgments as we know them from Scripture that have been passed on to us? It's easy for us to say they failed. It's harder for us to look at ourselves. Now we're at 1 Samuel 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. So Elkanah and Hannah leave their child in the care of Eli at the temple. And Hannah was going to uphold her vow, and she did so. Her son had been loaned to the Lord. Of the commentaries I've looked at, this word loan is the Hebrew word for ask, borrow, or loan. And Hannah was loaning back to God. Oh, that's misspelled. I'm surprised the spelling check didn't pick that up. That's God. Hannah was loaning this child back to God from whence he had come. He was a gift from, she saw him as a gift from God. Now, and again, talking about major figures, he had pretty much a secondary figure here as well, with his sons messing up. and then again with Hannah offering the child. Now let's move on to the end of Eli's days. In 1 Samuel 2 at verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, Why do ye such things? For I hear your evil doings by all of the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. So these boys also laid with the women at the door of the temple, or at the, in this case, the tent, right? It was still a tent, wasn't it? This bad behavior of Eli's son was apparently widely known in 1 Samuel 2 and 24. And the report came back to Eli. When he found out about his things, he rebuked his sons, but he failed to make them stop or to eject them from their positions, allowing them to continue to profane the tabernacle. I do want to stand corrected. Earlier I said Hannah dropped Samuel off at the temple. The temple hadn't been built yet, so it was the tabernacle, yes. Now, God sends an unnamed prophet to Eli to deliver a dire message concerning Eli and his sons and his household. At verse 20, we're still in chapter 2, at verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli. He said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that my house and the house of the Father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. Continuing at verse 32, And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation in all the wealth which God has given Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be consumed in thine eyes to grieve thine heart, and all the increase in thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is mine, that is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thy house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Pay me, I pray thee, unto one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. So this is a terrible curse, because the Levites depended upon their portion of the sacrifices to priesthood for their living. In the future, his house, Eli's house, would have to crouch to the priest for a piece of silver or a morsel of bread. They would, in effect, become beggars, and another faithful priest would be raised up, namely Samuel. This next, we're now into 1 Samuel chapter 3 at verse 1. This is the account of Samuel's dream. Samuel having these three dreams, and finally Eli saying, "Go, you know, and listen to him and tell me what he says." This is 21 verses here. I'm not going to read all of them. What I'll do is read about half of them, which is gives you an idea. We all know what's going on here. So we're right in the top third at 1 Samuel 3 and 1. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Verse 2 reads, "And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." Verse 3, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, and the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. But the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for thou callest me.' And he said, 'I callest not. Lie down again.' And he went and laid down, and the Lord called him again." Now down to verse 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, Samuel. And then this time Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Verse 11, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I had spoken concerning his house, which I begin, when I begin, I will make an end. For I have told him, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Israel that the iniquity of Israel's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel appeared to show Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' He answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'What is it that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me.' And Samuel told him every whit, Samuel, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord's. Let him do what seemeth good.' And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall on the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." When Samuel was a little older, Eli's eyes were so weak that he could barely see. And the Lord himself spoke to Samuel. In the middle of the night, the Lord came and stood in Samuel's room. And that we just read that in 1 Samuel 3. "And told the young boy to deliver to Eli the message that it was almost time for the prophecy of the other prophet to fall upon his family. And Eli humbly accepted this decree, and Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord in Shiloh." Let's go into chapter 4 to read of the execution, if you will, of this prophecy. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us this day before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark and the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of our hand of our enemies.'" So the people went to Shiloh, and they might bring hence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, and Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meanest this noise of this great show in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp, and the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come unto the camp, unto their camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants of the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and the Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, 30,000 footmen. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh, and came to the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart was trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came to the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth this noise of this tumult?" And the man came in haste to Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And when the man said unto Eli, "I am he that come out of the army, and I fled today out of the army," and said, "What is there done, my son?" Next page, page 7. The messenger answered Eli and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God is taken. And it has come to pass, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that he fell from the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. And he had judged Israel for 40 years. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of the Ark of the God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about that time of, and about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, 'Fear not, for thou hast borne a son.' But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, 'The glory is departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband, because of her father-in-law and husband.' And she said, 'The glory is departed from Israel, for the Ark of God is taken.'" So in comment, a short time after these prophecies, the Philistines' camp, as we've just read, come and attack Israel. Israel's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, go into battle. And they brought with them the Ark of the Covenant, thinking that it would guarantee or help protect them against their enemies. Initially, I think the Philistines thought that as well. However, God was not with them. And that which had been prophesied by this unnamed prophet as well as Samuel came to pass. Eli's two sons were killed, along with about 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel. In addition, the Ark was captured by the Philistines. When Eli heard of this terrible news, he fell off of his seat. His neck was broken, for he was old and heavy. Meanwhile, Eli's pregnant daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, went to labor and died during the delivery, but not before she named the son Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel." Thus, Eli's grandson, born on the day of the death and defeat was given the name No Glory. Eli had been a priest in Israel and a judge for 40 years. That's the end of my comments.